Well, hi, Beatrice. You sure look happy today.
Well, I am happy.
Well,
I brought you something.
You bought me something?
Yep.
Why'd you do that?
Well, just because I wanted to.
Well, shouldn't it be for a birthday or Christmas or something?
Well, it's just a gift.
Oh, you really didn't have to do that. Are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah, it's just a gift. It's for you. Will you take it?
Well, then I'll have to get you something.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Well, maybe next week or on your birthday or for Christmas or something, I'll get you something so we'll be even.
Abner, it's a gift.
I suppose I should see what's inside. Very interesting.
Aren't you going to take it? Are you going to open it?
Well, I'm thinking about it.
Well, you've been thinking for a long time.
Well, I just don't want to rush into anything. I want to make sure I know all the details. I mean, what if it's scary or hairy or something in there? I don't even know what's in here, so.
Well, Abner, it's a gift. It's not a tax audit.
Well, I just have some questions, you know. I got to think things over really carefully before I jump into anything. Like, where did you get it? How much did it cost? Was it on sale? Do you have the receipt? Is there a warranty? Can I exchange it if I want to?
Abner, you're looking a gift horse in the mouth.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at a bunch of tissue paper. I mean, a lot of tissue paper, and there's no way a horse would fit in here.
You might be surprised.
Well, at least let me pay you for it.
Well, maybe you haven't looked closely enough. If you're done inspecting the tissue paper, why don't you actually see what the gift is?
Well, will you let me pay you for it? I don't want to take a gift. I want to pay you for it. How about a dollar?
Why do you want to buy it?
Well, I mean, it seems fair. I mean, if I pay you for it, how about, well, maybe it's worth more than a dollar. How about $2?
Well, if you pay for it, then it's not a gift anymore.
How about $3? Five?
Deal.
There was a horse in there.
Well, everybody knows horses take a lot of money.
That horse took my money. You say everybody knows horses take a lot of money?
Yep.
Oh.
They take a lot of time and money.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, that horse took my watch.
Well, like I said, they take a lot of time and money.
Well, if this gift is going to take all my time and money, then it's not much of a gift, is it? I mean...
Well, a lot of times, gifts come with responsibilities attached.
Well, I don't think it's much of a gift if I have to work. If you give me a gift that takes all my free time and my money, you haven't really given me much of a gift.
That's not true. If I gave you a horse, you'd have to take care of it, feed it, you know, walk it around. That would mean, if you didn't do those things, that wouldn't mean I never gave you a horse. It would just mean your horse wouldn't do very well.
Yeah.
The responsibilities don't earn the gift. They just help you enjoy the gift that you already got.
I think I heard a phrase in the Bible about that. It was something like, faith without works is dead. I guess if I don't take care of the horse... Oh, never mind. I think the horse is dead. Oh, the horse is dead. But maybe, just maybe, the gift of salvation is somewhat like the gift of a horse.
Yep, I think you might be on to something there.
You got to take care of it. It doesn't cost you anything to get it, but you got to take care of it. You got to work with it, show your appreciation.
Yep, I think it's all about the free gift of salvation. Maybe we'll learn more in today's sermon.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's get some good seats. I see that it's a packed house tonight. We better get some good seats before
okay.
The sermon.
Bye. Woo-hoo.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you to Reese Fiegel for her acting skills as horse. Glad to be with you all this morning. We're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated service because seven of us will be headed to Indiana as quickly as we can for fuel right after this, the National Youth Camp. So the service is going to be a little bit shorter than normal, but before we begin officially, let's bow and invite the Lord into our gathering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fun that it is to be able to gather in your house and to play with puppets and think about your word, to sing songs that we offer as worship to you and to honor you with our time. We pray that you would be present in our gathering this morning and in our hearts and help us to think about things in a new way that maybe we hadn't before as we look in your word. Keep those in our congregation that are traveling today safe. We are mindful of many that are on their way to Washington this morning, and many from all over the country will be convening in Indiana for fuel. We pray that that would be a time that honors you and is very meaningful for everybody that's seeking to go there and honor you with that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to open with a song, The Family of God. If you could turn in your hymnals to, do we know the page number on that one?
218.
218. We'll stand as we sing. It's 218, The Family of God. In the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side, form part of the family of God. We say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm a part of the family of God in the fountain. Cleansed by his blood. As we travel this side, you're an outcast, a new song we sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, and rejoice in each victory in this family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. The family of God. You can be seated. So we've already prayed about the camps and the travelers, but what other things are on your mind, either prayers or praises that we should remember as a congregation this week? Anybody have anything good happen this week? Like I said, the sermon's going to be a little bit abbreviated this morning, and it's going to tie into the puppet skit that we enjoyed here. It's continuing our series, our 10 simple points on a statement of faith. And if you don't have one of those cards, there's some in the back. We've been working through since the beginning of the year 10 simple ideas that pretty well summarize a statement of faith. Different churches and our general conference as a whole has strived over the years to try to refine and revise what it is we believe. And so this was something that I came up with that I think is just kind of agreeable to most every Bible-believing church. It's just what I believe in the simplest form. And so I invite you to read along as we've been going through this and see if that's what you believe also, or maybe you believe something different, and that's okay. But we're trying to back up what we believe with Scripture and keep it simple. 10 points, you got 10 fingers. So each month we've been going through one of the points on the statement of faith. So being that it's July, this is the 7th point in the series, and that is, I've lost my card, but if I remember right, it's basically, I believe that salvation is a free gift, and that's essentially what it says. So we're looking at that idea, that salvation is a free gift. So I wonder if there's anybody that would be willing to say out loud a favorite gift that you have received over the years. I know that one of my favorite gifts I ever received was, I think I was about 7-ish. I'm pretty sure it was my 7th birthday. I got a puppet stage that my dad made, and I still have it in the basement of their house, but it was wood and had neat curtains and lights, and a lot of time and love went into making that. And this one's much larger, but it's all because of that gift that I still, you know, really enjoy doing puppets. Somebody else, tell me about a gift that you received that you really enjoyed sometime over the years. Tough crowd this morning. Maybe I would get the puppets out. Sometimes if you have a puppet, you can say things that you don't feel comfortable saying. There he is.
My son, a few years ago, bought me a 22. I used to be quite a hunter, and that was a really meaningful gift to me. I still got it, never shot it, but I just loved guns at that time. They don't mean so much anymore, but that one does. That was a nice gift.
So that's interesting. Would you care to say any more about, you say you'd never shot it.
I've never shot it because life got busy, we built the house, and just hunting is not as important as it used to be, because when I was a kid, I hunted all the time in the mountains of Kentucky, and that was the most important thing in my life at that time. But since that, I've gotten a little older, and hunting is not my favorite thing to do anymore.
How about a gift that somebody got that you tried to be polite, but you really didn't like it? Anything like that? You got a gift that you really didn't want? Maybe that's not something you want to say out loud, but anybody?
An espresso machine.
You got an espresso machine?
Yeah.
I don't think I was involved in giving that to you, so that's okay. Veronica.
I think it was a very long time ago. Micah and Jackie, they traveled back from the Philippines, and I got a dried toad purse, and the mouth opened up, and it was a purse. And you unzipped it. I don't know where it is now.
It's a real toad.
It was, yeah, I think.
Dried toad.
It looked really real, but I don't think.
Yeah. How about some of the younger people? A favorite gift or a weird gift? Any kind of story about a gift? Carter's got one.
When I was probably 7 or 8, there was a Nerf gun that I wanted really bad. it was so cool in the packaging. It was one of the chain links mini gun things.
Like a Gatling gun. Yeah.
I wanted it for months and months. It immediately didn't work. So
yeah. I feel like I might have shot it to show you how it worked, and then it didn't work after that, right? Something like that. Elliot?
It's really cool, by the way. It was awesome. And it's awesome. I still use it. That's why I can't play it.
Did I see any other hands over here? Maybe. Carter or Weston? The Lock and Dam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a fun day, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to think about your gift stories, and think about the different ways that a person can respond to receiving a gift. I feel like there might be more people over here that I can't see. I'm going to scooch this forward. Hello over there. In the puppet skit, we tried to highlight a couple different ways that sometimes people respond to gifts. Sometimes people they're embarrassed or they maybe don't feel like they deserve a gift. They don't want to receive it. Or they try to, this one happens especially if the gift is a meal. If you've ever been out to dinner at a moderately expensive restaurant and somebody offers to pay for your meal, how does that situation usually go down? This is rhetorical. Think about it, though. The last time that happened to you, somebody offers to pay for your meal, and a lot of times I've seen this happen where then there's a little battle that goes on, and it's like, no, you shouldn't pay for us. I'll pay for you, right? And I think that sometimes is the way that we treat the gift of salvation also. It's like, no, I don't deserve this. I got to get things in order first before I'll accept this. Sometimes we, like Abner, we know that the gift has been presented to us and we know we probably will like it, but we got to think it over. We gotta think about things for a long time before we're fully gonna take it out and use it, fully take it out and implement it in our lives. Think about that. I've known a lot of people that over the years have come to church regularly. They study their Bibles. They come to Wednesday nights. They come to whatever. But when it comes to being baptized, well, I'm not sure I'm ready yet. I got to think about it. And they just never quite get around to it, you know? I want to look at Ephesians, so it's not just me talking. I want to look at actual Bible verse here. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse starting in... Well, let's start in verse 1, but we're really looking at verse 8 is the key verse here. But for some context, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also living among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Verse 6, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, and this is the key one I want you to maybe look at again later tonight or this week. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So there's always this balance when you talk about salvation being a gift. If you say you really can't work for it, there's nothing you can do to earn it, then people say, well, and Paul talks about this in other places in the Bible, well, should we just go on sinning then? Is there nothing that can cause us to lose our salvation? We've always just, no matter what? And that's a topic for another day, another sermon of in-depth study, really, this idea of once saved, always saved. Is that a thing or not? I'll let you come to your own conclusions on that. I'm not talking about that today. But there's these two polar opposite theological views that really you can do almost anything and never lose your salvation, or you are just constantly kind of worrying about, well, today I was unkind to someone, so, you know, now maybe I've lost my salvation. And so there's, I think, maybe somewhere in the middle between those two points of view is where we really are. I want to point back to the puppet skit and the horse. If you're given a horse and you do nothing with it, you leave it in the bag, the giant gift bag, it doesn't mean you've not been given a horse. It just means you've not chose to benefit from it. But if you do accept a horse, then with it comes, they're going to use a lot of your time and money, and you got to do a lot of work. You got to clean up a lot of stuff, right? And so I don't know if it's a perfect illustration, but I think it's a pretty good illustration that I think salvation is something like that, that we can't really do anything to earn it, and if we try to offer some type of payment for it, it's grossly inadequate. Abner was offering $1 or $5 for a horse. You know, Jesus paid for our eternal life already, and there's nothing that we can do that would even come close to the value of that. But if we accept that gift, with it comes the responsibility of doing some work. And God, it says here in Ephesians, already had in mind for us to do good works before he gave us the gift of salvation. And even while we were not doing good works, in fact, we were dead in our transgressions, that's exactly when he gave us the gift. So I want you to think about that. And different churches teach different things about when a person is saved. And again, that's a topic for lengthy discussion. And so I'm not going to come to any conclusions on that today. Some people say you must be baptized to be saved, but then we've got the thief on the cross who was clearly not baptized and was promised to be in paradise with Jesus. So, but yet, there's other places where it says, what should we do to be saved? And they're instructed to be baptized. So, there's a lot of topics to dig into and study for yourself and draw your own conclusions here. But to keep it brief and easy to remember, I want you to just focus on Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and I'll read it again. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." So in our I Believe series, I believe salvation is a gift from God. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. None of us do. No amount of works is going to make it so you are somehow more righteous than somebody else that didn't deserve it. But like any gift in a gift bag or any meal at a restaurant that somebody offers, it's your choice how to respond to that gift. You can leave it sitting there. You can open it and take it out and use it for a little while and then forget about it. That's what we do with a lot of our gifts, isn't it? You could take it out and use it and refine it and make it maybe different over the years, but the way you use it, like the puppet stage. This is not the puppet stage that I was given as a gift at 7 years old, but that gift has inspired, like, oh, how could I make this idea a little bit better? What if I had the curtains so I could see through them, but they couldn't see me, you know? So maybe over the years, your faith changes, the way you use the gift of salvation, the way you accept the gift of salvation changes a little bit over time. But I want you to think about that, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Salvation is a gift. So how will you receive it? And